Thank you, Lord. We thank you, Abba Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, for the moving of your Holy Spirit today. We just appreciate you so much, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. Let's give him a praise offering this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We never want to take for granted the richness of the Lord. We never want to take for granted the richness of his presence. We just thank you, Lord God. We praise you. We want to welcome each and every one of you out this morning. We thank you for your participation. Each one of us has a gift. Each one has a song. One has a word. One has a hymn. One has a prophecy. Thank you so much for your participation. Even you being here, you are participating. You are being activated for the service and the ministry. And that looks different. It's not just someone standing behind a pulpit. We know that we are all ministers when we accept the Lord. We minister in our homes. We minister on our jobs. Thank you, Lord. The theme of these gatherings have been the Father's heart. And, you know, each time we gather, it's pretty different. I mean, last month we were all marching around and we had the drums going and Teresa was leading the way. Each time it's going to be different. I mean, we were in a real hoedown. And this time, you know, the multifaceted God. We never want to take ownership of it. We always want to say, what do you want today, Lord? And we just, you know, want to yield to that. And we just continue to learn how to yield to the Holy Spirit. So this morning, I just want to share real briefly. I never had a revelation of Father's love. I actually, as many of you, I grew up with a very, very abusive father. He was with us part-time, thank God. He abused us severely, and I watched him beat my brother to death one day. And my mom jumped on his back, and I jumped on mom's back. Out of seven kids, I would stand up to him as a little girl. And so I, you know, when I received the Lord, I immediately love Jesus. I mean, I just fell in love with Jesus. And then, as many of you know, I got supernaturally filled with the Holy Ghost in bed with my boyfriend at the time. So say, God supersedes all of our sin. He supersedes all of our mess. And yes, he convicted me, he convicted us, and obviously we got it right. But I love to tell that story because, you know, he's so full of love for us. But I had a very hard time with Father's love. You know, I would hear people say, Abba Father or Daddy God. And it would actually tick me off. I'd be fighting in my mind. I would actually get very, very angry. And, you know, and I actually criticized it. You know, I thought, Daddy God. are they? What do they mean, Daddy God? He's, you know. And so I'm just real with God, you know, and I just talk to him like that's how I've developed my relationship with him. And he expects us to be real. And so I would have these angst and anger and tighten up and this fist in my heart towards Father God. And I didn't know why. And I didn't know that I had longed for a father. And the good part of my brother being beat to death is I remember Mom saying, God, if you will spare him. God, don't take my son. She did end up divorcing my dad, which was really the best thing that could have happened. And I watched my brother, God restored his breath back to him. He came back to life. And I would like to have him sometime tell his story. Because he said his body, his spirit left him, and he was watching Mom and I, cry out over him. We didn't grow up in the Lord, but we knew how to cry out. When you're in a desperate place, whether you're saved or not, we will cry out to God. And he's so good about coming to those of us. He came to a people who sought him not. And he was found by those who didn't even seek him. And so I watched my brother's life come back to him. And one summer, I went to Nondalton to go lead him to the Lord. And that's another story. But one day, and I'll be done here, after about 10 years of being in this particular church, and we loved it there. I mean, we were, like Robert said, we started in our first ministry was janitorial, toilet ministry. and we were, they'd say jump, and I'd say how high, go, how low, give, how much. I mean, we were like little soldiers. And so when that ministry fell apart, and I'm praise God. God uses all things together for good. I was laying on the floor one day, and I thought, Lord, what was all that for? My first experience in Christianity, and we gave everything, we did everything, and now we're in this mess. And I mean, I was wailing and snot, and I was just having it out with God. I was having it out. And when I have it out, I'm loud and I'm crass. And it was just me and him in the bedroom. And that was his moment with me. And, in the lowest times of our lives, he gives us. He meets with us. He encounters us. He transforms us. And you have experiences that are so deep and so real that they are not of this world, that causes you to go deeper and higher, and it revolutionizes your walk with God. And at that time, I was crying out to him and letting him have it. And And I thought, you know, and I said, well, we are a miserable mess. And I am done. I said, I don't want to hear another prophecy. I don't want to prophesy. I don't want church. I don't want, you know, I just let it all out. And I said, gee, that was the only church we knew, God. Now what? Yeah, I don't want church. No, thank you. Nope. And so anyway, he came in. It was like I can't even explain it, except for he came in and he swept me up and he held me and he began to speak with me and said, who told you that which I have created is wrong and evil? You are not wrong. You are not evil. Your culture is not wrong and evil. For I'm the one who has created every tribe, tongue, and nation on the face of the earth. And you could do nothing. No sin can be so great that I cannot save. You could do nothing that is so bad that I cannot love. And he was just going on and on and on. And then he picked me up and he began to show me. He said, and I'm going to restore the dance back into you since you were a little girl. And I was like, what? Dance? What dance? He says, remember when you were a little girl, you yurak for me. You yurak'd in your village, but this time you won't yurak for man. You won't yurak dance for tradition. You will yurak for me. For I will glorify myself in and through you. And each place that I send you, there will be a specific purpose and I will show you. And he took me up in the spirit realm. And he showed me. And I can't go into all of that vision right now. And he said, I will use that as a door opener for you. And then I will cause you to preach and prophesy like you never have before. And I, without going into that extensive vision and time, he said, because I am your Abba, Father. I am your daddy that you've always longed. And you know, after that experience, I watched him do what only he could do. And today, there are some of you who still, we sit in churches and we long for that. We long for a father's love. And that's what I've always longed for. And I have to say that one of my true fathers in the faith, who's been safe, who believed in me, who created opportunities for me, even when I felt unworthy, and when I felt like I couldn't, was Steve. And I just want to thank you for being a father to me. So today you're going to receive, Abba Father's going to come and he's going to touch that place in your heart. Even if you already have a revelation of him, he has more for you today. And tonight we will hear from Pastor Steve, an apostle in our state. And so with that, I want to go ahead and hand it over to, okay, before I do that, I will pray for you. Open your hearts to Abba Father today. Abba Father, I thank you that you came to me at the lowest point, one of the lowest points of my life, but surely the lowest point in my ministerial life. And you revealed yourself to me as my daddy. I've never been able to say that word In fact, you know how much I hated my own natural father, but you were able to help me to forgive him. And Lord, I thank you, Abba Father, for giving us a revelation of your deep and wide love for us today. Touch every heart. Give us a revelation of your love today, 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 Abba Father. Today, heal every broken heart. Heal every broken relationship. And everyone who already has a revelation of your love, more, more, Abba Father. You always say that there's more. I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the more. I thank you, Abba Father, even for those who have been hurt from their spiritual fathers, who they trusted. Heal, deliver, set free. Lord, I thank you and I praise you. You are our Heavenly Father. Go deep, 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 deep. Oh, thank you, Lord. We thank you for revolutionizing our walk with you. Oh, Lord God, that we would just be set free and move and live and be who you've created us to be in our maximum way, Lord God. Thank you, Abba Father. Amen. Mary.
Hallelujah. Whew. What a powerful testimony. That's about as real as it gets, isn't it? I know that many, many of you have been there. I was there. I have to tell a story on Steve. He really is a father in the Lord, a real demonstration of the father heart of God. And all of us have times of crises in our life when we must turn to somebody to help us, or we can't make it. We feel like we're going under, and there is no hope, and the enemy's battering on every hand, but God. He sends a normal person filled with the love of God that helps to anchor you. Just that one word or the one prayer, you can be that for someone. Just as Steve and Vicky have been for us. Brother Tim Sergey, I know you've been that for many, Brother Tim. And I know Lee and Peggy have also been that for many. And I have to say, Deb, you have also been that for many. Sometimes you don't even realize how one word, one act can keep someone from going under that last time. God's good. You have been called to a rescuing operation. The earth needs rescuing. The nation needs rescuing. The state needs rescuing. We need rescuing. And you are that one that God has sent into the fray. Have any of you seen a movie called The Finest Hour? Oh my goodness. It's on Netflix. That is a story, it's a true story of rescuing. It touched my heart because I saw and heard the voice of the Lord all the way through that movie. I had to stop and just wail. I was a mess by the time it was over because it's a picture of life. It's a picture of us. It's a picture of what we are called to do as ordinary people because our Father's heart is to rescue the perishing. Years ago, probably 25 years now, the Lord gave me an early vision. You know, I grew up in the Salvation Army. So, of course, the Salvation Army is into the business of rescuing the lost, the down and outers. They started out in the slums of London, reaching the unreachable and having compassion for the broken. And I learned a song while I was in the Salvation Army because of General William Booth's desire to rescue the perishing. There was a song that he promoted that we sang often, "Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying." Jesus is wonderful. Jesus can save. And it's a call to the lost. And it's a beautiful song. And in this vision that God gave me, I saw us in a little boat, the church. We were inside a harbor, and we were sailing around this harbor, and this song was playing over the loudspeaker, only it was high and tinny and artificial. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. It was weird. And we were racing around this harbor, and someone on the boat fell overboard. So the boat quickly turned around. Now we've got someone to rescue. They threw a life ring out, and it hit the guy on the head. And he started to go under, and the song was playing frantic over the loudspeaker. And suddenly the vision expanded, and I could see outside the harbor was a huge storm. And it was filled with people. The ocean was filled with people who were dying and desperately needed what we had. But we were safe in the harbor. And I knew God was saying, go and get them. Rescue them. And I feel God saying that to us this morning, that we have been given an anointing, the Father's love. We are safe. We will never, never, never perish because God's love will sustain us. He has secured our eternity forever, and he does not want us to stay safe in the harbor when the world is dying, when our neighbors are dying. When our young people are desperate, they have no guidelines. This is a fatherless generation. And we have a father who is speaking to this generation and telling us, go get them. If you will go get them, I will save them. That's what he's saying. And so this picture I saw in this movie, The Finest Hour, was about this young man, early days of the Coast Guard. He had to face an impossible challenge because he couldn't even get out of the harbor. There was a shoal that was blocking the way, and the waves were huge waves, 20, 30-foot waves. And he decided he could do it. He got a little band together, and they charged into the storm, into the face of certain death, certain death. This is one of the points in the movie when I turned on pause and began to wail for them to survive. I already know the end of the movie. And here I am praying. It's because I was praying for you in your little tugboat facing out, and now you're starting to go out, hearts pounding, and you feel like you're going to die if you have to talk to that lost one. You're going to die if you have to go talk to a gang member. You're going to die if you have to talk to that little old lady in the grocery store. It feels like death. But God, you're carrying something so holy inside of you. God said this morning through the prophet, he has opened the door to the supernatural. He has opened the door. Be willing to risk all to rescue them. Go get them. You'd be surprised at how hungry they are to hear somebody cares. And when your tugboat gets out in the storm and the exhilaration of the wind and waves hits you, and you suddenly realize that God's power is with you, you will never be the same. Never. You will relish the storm. You will relish going beyond the comfort zone. You will relish finding those that are going under. You'll look for the ones that are hungry. You will be those that it will be said of you, it was their finest hour. I believe that God gives us scriptures to sustain us in what we are going into. I believe he speaks to us as we're ready to launch. And I believe this morning, last night, God has been giving us the tools that we need. He gave us a prophetic word, not only last night, but he gave us one this morning. He said, we have pushed through something in the spirit realm, and he has opened an effective door in the realm of the spirit. You know what I immediately saw when I heard that word? I saw this Coast Guard boat launching out of the harbor, facing that dark barrier of waves that were crashing. And I suddenly saw a door open, a pathway through the impossible. It opened to us this morning. And I want to challenge you like never before. Don't waste that door. Launch. You have nothing to lose and heaven to gain. For those that are so hungry to hear the Father's voice. He said that. I believe it. And you know, I'm like Eleanor. And Robert, I know, is this way also. I feel like making a demand on the anointing. I am not going to sit passive in the back row. I have to have God, or what's it all about? What's it for? You know, I could go fishing in the Kenai. I wouldn't mind having a king salmon in my freezer. But God said, launch out. Come on, launch out. Go beyond. Go beyond. Go beyond. Today is the day to go beyond. Get a little chutzpah in your belly. Come on. Be willing to throw all into the ministry. All. I know what it's like to feel shy. I know what it's like to feel destitute, like I have nothing to give. I know what that's like. It's always at that moment when I felt God nudging me out. Come on, baby. Come on, you can do it. Come on. I've opened a door. He would give me a scripture, or someone would say something to me, and I'd suddenly know, okay, I can do this. My heart pounding, legs shaking, but I was willing to step out. Come on. You can do the same. It's not too big for you. There has been a holy door that's open today. A holy door that opened last night. And these doors that God opens. You know why we hear so many words about doors? Doors will open and then a few take advantage and then the door closes. Then God will open another door. And some people will be courageous and take advantage, and then the door closes. One thing I've learned from my friend Nita Berquist, she has an amazing gift of healing. When the healing anointing hits her, she'll deliver the words of knowledge, and she'll say, now, come down here, quickly, quickly. Because that door for healing is open for a moment at that season, and it will close. And so people will race forward, and they get healed. And then after the meeting, almost invariably, someone will come up and say, oh, will you pray for me? That was for me. But the door had already closed. It'll open again. But that anointing is finished. It's closed. Be aware of the open door and move quickly. When God says there's an open door, guess what? There's an open door. There is an open door right now for this nation. It is an amazing season we're in. I've never seen anything quite like this. Our nation is being torn apart from within. But God, I heard a prophet and more than one saying, okay, get ready, this is it. And I can feel, okay, we're on the brink. We're moving out beyond the safety of the harbor into the unknown chaos of the world and the world's afflictions to save those that can be saved. Boy, what an exciting hour. This really is our finest hour. It is. Tim, it's our finest hour. It's your finest hour. You have yet to see the glory of God that he's promised you, Tim. I see miracles pouring out in you. I see people broken free from their chains. I see the destitute. I see prisoners, you know, prisoners, men and women in prison that are men that need God, that need Jesus, and they're waiting to hear your voice, and they're going to come to Jesus Christ. They will be radical. They'll have pierced everything, tattoos everywhere, and they will come in shouting. They're not going to stay in the harbor. They're going to go out and go fishing, and we're going to bring in a harvest. I want to go fishing with them. I am not staying in that safe harbor, you guys. Come on. I want you to come with me. Anybody who wants to come with me, you get to your feet right now. We're going to ask for a unique kind of anointing. Whoa. Come on. Whoo. All right, Jesus. Come on. Come on, Jesus. Holy, 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 holy. We'll go, Father. I hear you calling us to go get them. I hear you calling us to go get them. Come on. You want to go get them? Come down to the front. Present yourself before the throne of God. Come on. Present yourself. Tell them you'll go. Tell them you'll go. You'll go get that lost one. You'll go get that loved one. The love of God is everywhere inside of you. You have something to offer. Tell them how much they're loved. Tell them there's hope for them. Tell them it's not over. Tell them it's not too late. Tell them to come in. Tell them to come in. This is your finest hour in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break down every chain that holds them back. We loose their tongue to speak. We loose their heart to feel. We loose their feet to go. We loose their hands to stretch out and heal. In Jesus' name, this is a new day for them. I pray for the glory of the Lord to fall upon these that have been called to this hour in the church, in the kingdom. And I pray right now that they will find that door that you have set is open to them. Tell them where that door is and let them go save the lost, save the broken, save the wounded, save the wicked, save the unrighteous, save the sexually impure, save those that are blind, save those that are hopeless, save those that are young, save those that are old, save those that are black, save those that are white, save those that are brown and yellow. Lord, send them out. Send them out. Send them out in Jesus' name. Whew. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes. Yes, a mighty army. Come on. A mighty army. Who? A mighty army. Who? Whoa. Whoa. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Great courage. Father, give them unusual courage in this hour. Unusual courage. And loose their tongue. Loose their tongue, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, you have called them to this hour. Loose their tongue. Let them be wise. Let them be wise and filled with the love of God. Let them lay aside their own agenda and only carry your heart of love. Father, empower them with love right now. Empower them with love right now. Love of God. Love of God. Love of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, come on. Come on. Whoa. All right. All right. Hallelujah. Go deep now, Lord. Go deep. Hallelujah. Yes, Father, open their eyes to see. Some of you, God is just touching your eyes right now. He's going to cause you to see in the realm of the Spirit. Who is that? Who feels that anointing on your eyes? Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. An anointing on the eyes. Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Father, open that eye even more in Jesus' name so they can see. Let them see, Father, what it is you are doing. Let them speak what it is you are doing. Let them see it more and more and more, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Thank you. Thank you for the seer anointing falling upon them. Thank you for that, Father. Let them see the lost. Let them see the harvest. Let them see the difficulty. Let them see the door open through the difficulty. Let them see, Father. Yeah, yeah. Lady Anandoria Sidia Nandoria Anandoria Soria Nandode Lady Anandode Ho Lady Anandoria So Ho Ho Boy, I feel the work of God going on inside of you. You're going to go out differently. You're not going to stay in a safe harbor after today. God's going to show you the door that's open for you. Open to the harvest field. Boy, I see it. And you'll go where no one else can go. Because God's planted you there so you can go there. That's your there place. It doesn't belong to anyone else. It's your door. You're the only one that'll carry the anointing to bring them in. The only one who has the answers for them. And it may sound like your words are falling on deaf ears, but it isn't. They will hear, and something in their heart will turn to God, and they'll say yes to God, and you may never know it. But because of what you shared, their heart turned, and they said yes. That's all it takes. It's not difficult. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All right. I want to encourage you to stay and just kneel before the Lord. If you're still, God's still doing business with you, this is between you and God. Just kneel before the Lord and let him continue the work. And the rest of you, I'd like you to just sit quietly because we have some things that Robert wants to share with you. But this is a kind of one of those supernatural things that God is doing. And it's very individual. Very individual. So be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And launch out. Yeah. Whoa, there's still a real strong anointing up here. We will go, Father. We will rescue the perishing. We will care for the dying. Jesus will save. I know Jesus will save. For the voice of the Lord is speaking and hovering upon you. The voice of the Lord is letting you know the door is open. The voice of the Lord is touching your spirit and letting you know this is your finest hour.
thank you for wholeness of heart. One heart. One mind. For you have given us the mind of Christ. Jackie, can you come up here? Jackie said she had a word for Pastor Tim Sergey. And just hold it for a little bit. I'll call you in a second. When Mary was saying that God wanted to give vision, open up spiritual vision, I have some visions. But I said, yes, more, Lord. And when Mary was praying, I saw a vision. And I saw a hand on a throttle. Like a boat throttle. And the hand was on there, and it began to throttle forward. And then what I saw is, first I saw a speedboat, and the water just began to fly out from behind it. And that boat began to propel forward at a high rate of speed. But then I saw a tugboat, and that throttle surged forward. And the tugboat began to surge forward. It didn't throw the water. It didn't even go fast. But I saw that it was able to move other things in a powerful way. Was able to pull barges and able to move things. And I saw other boats that were able to go out in the storm, surge forward with the throttle. And what God was speaking to me is that, you know, He has made us all differently. He has purposed for us to have different types of anointings and callings. Some of us to surge forward even as a speedboat, but some of us to have great power to move even mountains. And I feel like today He's releasing those things. He's giving us a revelation of what those things are. I like this. Today was wonderful because there was no real agenda behind what would happen. It's just, Lord, what is it that you want? Pastor Tim. I'm going to have you speak it, okay?
I don't know you, Pastor Tim, but the Lord has a word of great encouragement for you today. When Eleanor was prophesying earlier, the anointing's very strong right now. When she was prophesying, and she talked about the open door, in the pathway there, you were standing there And I saw the anointing come upon you. And there were ideas dancing around your head. Ideas, ideas. They are ideas that will come into your soul, but they are supernatural ideas. The origin is the Lord. And he puts these ideas above your head, and then he will bring them in at the proper time. And this powerful anointing that was on you, I saw the Lord come up like this in front of you. And then he reached around beside you, and then you stretched out your hand, and it was no longer your hand, it was his hand. And whomever you touched was powerfully impacted. And it was so easy. Oh, Pastor Tim, if you can carry this image in your heart, how easy. Because it was the Lord's hand. He has come to surround you. The anointing is upon you. And something powerful is beginning to happen. I thought to hold this word, but the Lord said, no, the word must be given today because the anointing starts today. You will reach out your hand today, and you will touch some people, and you will know, and he will confirm his word to you.
I want to confirm that word as well. I was going to hold the word as well. It was while you were standing up here. Is the vision that I saw was you were standing there as in a place of authority. And I didn't know how to articulate what I was seeing, except there are things that you have gone through, Pastor Tim, in your walk with the Lord in particular, that I hear Jeremiah 1, that he tore down and he rebuilt. And he tore down and he rebuilt. And he says, this time, the building that he is building within you is the kingdom of God, is the structure of the kingdom of God that he's building within you. That you are not just a local pastoral man, but that you are a kingdom builder. And you wonder why you may not fit here or may not fit there. It's because you are a kingdom man and you are a kingdom builder. And you have allowed the Lord to restructure you and to take things down and to sift out of you those things. In fact, at times it just felt like death to you. It felt like that how much more can you take? But the Lord says he's done a good work in you, and he's completing that good work that he has done in you. And now, O man of God, I will send you before kings and princes, not only of this world, but of the kingdom. And the Lord says that even the your very mantle has changed this day. I see you wearing a new mantle that the Lord has placed around you. It's a mantle of great favor. It's a mantle that opens doors in the spiritual realm, even by your very presence. For the Lord says that not only will I send you into those prisoners, into the prisons, but I say that I will send you before mighty men and women of God, because just the great favor of the Lord is upon you. Amen.
When I was seeing that vision, I was actually seeing my father sitting next to me. I grew up on a fishing boat, so. And I was trained from a very young age to drive boats and handle boats, even in rough seas. By the age of 10, I was driving boats in rough seas, and not just driving them, but actually able to pull them up next to a tender And my father taught me how to do that. But I remember that he looked over to me and he says, and it was rough out this time, he looked over to me. And the waves were as tall as this building here, going up and down. We had a fishing boat that was 28 foot long, so it wasn't that big of a boat. And the waves were kind of, some of them were kind of breaking a little bit at the tops. And he looked over me and at me and he says, Robert, it's days like today that I wish my father was a farmer. And I looked back at him and I said, me too. This morning it was about 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning, and I woke up a little bit and I was hearing 1 Kings 1 and 2. And I heard it again, 1 Kings 1 and 2. I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to remember that. And I just pulled those grave covers back over me so I could get some more sleep. And so I went back to sleep, and all when I was going back to sleep, I said, 1 Kings 1 and 2. And then I woke up this morning trying to get up early, and I was trying to, what was that scripture again, Lord, that you were saying to me? What was that again? And it didn't come to me for a while. But then the Lord had grace on me. He gave it to me again. So I said, okay, I'll read that. And it was about David. And it was when he was getting ready to pass. And another one of his sons had, because David was so close to death, said, I'm going to be king. And he threw a feast for himself and everything and proclaimed himself to be king. And Nathan the prophet went to Solomon's mother and said, this day, we need to act because your very life is at stake. If you do not act now, your life is at stake. And you need to go and talk to David and let him know what's happening. And he said, and I'll come and I will confirm what you're saying to him. And so they proclaimed what was happening, and David said, Solomon is going to be the one that sits on my throne. And so he said, get Solomon on my donkey, bring him down, and have the priest pray over him and proclaim him as king. And so they did. And the priest came back and said, we have done this. And may Solomon's throne be greater than yours. Sometimes in our pride, if we hear that, what, he's going to be greater than me? But you know what? A true father's heart says, yes, my son will be greater. And do greater exploits than I ever have. And Solomon, he built the temple of God. And people from all over the earth came to be amazed at the glory of Solomon's kingdom. And Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. Isn't that a father's blessing? You know, I'm so glad that our fathers have mercy on us when we don't do things exactly right. At least our Heavenly Father. I'm glad that He has mercy on us if we don't really hear Him the first time, that He's willing to talk to us a second time. You know, for all of the faults of my own father and what a hard man he was. And when I say a hard man, he was a hard man. There's a few times that I remember that he said to me, he said, Robert, I am proud of you. And you know what? Our Heavenly Father is saying that to us, that He's proud of us. But you know what? Even right here on this earth, there are times when we need our natural fathers and our spiritual fathers. Sometimes we need for them to say, I'm proud of you. I know this, I'm proud of us all for the way we've come together, the way we've come together to seek after our Heavenly Father and for what He's doing in this place. And I'm so thankful that He has, our God has opened up those doors. Incredible things. I like this. The three of us just speaking forth and just sharing. I think this turned out okay, Mary. Yeah. Pastor Steve, thank you. And Vicky, thank you for being here with us this weekend and bringing your intercessors with you. And we are looking forward to hearing what God has put on your heart for us this evening. That's going to be this evening at 6. Invite some people to come. Hold their hand if you need to bring them in. Whatever it takes. And I know that God is going to, it's going to be wonderful this evening. Pastor Carrie, can you come up? I'd like you to just close us out in prayer. And if you have something that you want to share, just quickly.
What a blessing to be here. I came in this morning, thought I would be here as early as 11, but we were delayed in Fairbanks. But thank God I got to receive, you know, the last bit of it. And I came forward here and just received, you know, from the anointing of God. We've been on the road from the last time I was here. We went to Cholkitsik. And Fort Yukon, we weren't planning to go there, but God wanted us to go there. And we just came back from Minto. And this is what I want to say. The Lord did great, great things there. But these places, the streets this time, were very, very prophetic. Right from the start, the first thing that we did was we planned to go to Cholkitsik on a Monday, and it was all turned around. The weather changed. And we went up to Fort Yukon, got back to Fairbanks, and Tuesday we decided, okay, I think God wants us to go to Fort Yukon. We decide Tuesday Fort Yukon, and then that was Wednesday. So Wednesday we decided to go to Fort Yukon. The weather settles, and so Cholkitsik opens up. And so we knew God is up to something big. And so while in Fort Yukon, we hadn't really understood why it happened that way. And I was asking the Lord, and there's a reason I'm sharing this. I was asking the Lord, why didn't we go to Cholkitsik? It's like that was, you know, our question, all of us as a team. And then while in prayer in Fort Yukon, the Lord begins to speak. It was very, very prophetic. We obeyed the Lord, did what we had to do in Fort Yukon, went to Cholkitsik. But in Fort Yukon, we saw, when we understood that this is God working here and decided to take action and go throughout that village praying as the Lord wanted us to, actually changing guards. That is really what it was, you know, to allow the kingdom of God to have this way. Everything just fell in place. One of the brothers, and this is why I wanted to, why I shared this testimony. One of the brothers, while they were leaving Fort Yukon, I went ahead to Cholkitsik with another brother. But while one of the brothers, as he was leaving Fort Yukon, we knew people were coming to Cholkitsik. He says he saw this vision. He saw an open door. And the Lord was very specific. The Lord told him, he says, this is an open door for the entire state of Alaska. It's an open door. And so when I came in here, and, you know, that is what I received, I say, yes, Lord, you are speaking. Yes, Lord, this is what you're doing. An open door. We just came from Minto, and Minto, God did deep, deep things there. Very, very spiritual things that he did in there, and we believe Minto is not going to be the same. But it's all obedience. And as I was looking back at what God is doing, this is what God put on my heart. There is a shift, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us go through this door. There is a shift. There is a shift that there is an open door for us. You know what God wants to do all over the villages of Alaska? He wants to take
the villages for himself. And it's not going to be like a one-man thing, no. And so leaders, pastors, should open up and seek the Lord for his blueprint. And for each village, it's going to be very different. God is taking over villages. That door is open, my dear brothers and sisters. Let us step in the door and do what God wants to do in those places. So I was really very, very excited, you know, when you shared that. There is an open door. And each and every one of us have to, like, take our place and be what God wants us to be and do what God wants us to do. I want to say to my pastor, I've known Pastor Steve for many years, and he doesn't know, but Pastor Steve encouraged me so much in the Lord. You know, we need encouragement in the Lord. He doesn't know it, but, you know, God used him really to strengthen me and to bring assurance as I started coming to Alaska and doing what God wanted me to do. And so I take him like a father to me. Yeah, and so I'm blessed, Pastor, to see you here and your wife. God bless you so much. I'm sorry, I'm going to miss this evening. I'm going to Kotzebue. Yeah, I'm going to Kotzebue. My flight is at 4, so I plan to come here, attend at least this session, you know, before I go to Kotzebue. But my dear brothers and sisters, the door is open. The door is open. The door is open. This is also the other thing. When we went for Yukon, we were actually dealing with the water spirits for Yukon. And while we were there, that same week, my sister Lisa, I got to know that the Lord was actually speaking to them, and they were doing prayer in Fairbanks. The same thing God was telling them. And so it was happening, and this is what God told me. For Yukon, I didn't even know what Yukon means. I had to look at what it means, and it means might. And of course you know what it means. It means mighty river. But this is what the Lord said. He's taking over. Yeah? He's changing the guard. Yeah? That spirit has been calling itself the four, you know, strong. But the mighty river of the Holy Spirit is going to affect every village on Fort Yukon and every other tributary that receives from Fort Yukon. It is going to happen. It is an open door, my dear brothers and sisters. It is an open door. Why don't we rise to our feet and let's just go to the Lord. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You are wonderful. You are awesome, my God. Thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for what you're doing in this hour. It is you that says in your word that he was an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. He was an ear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Heavenly Father, it's an opportunity that we are able to hear, we are able to see, we are able to perceive. And it's our prayer even now that as we live here, that Lord God, you will increase us, that we'll be able to see more, we'll be able to perceive more, we'll be able to hear more, my God, that we will be in line with what you're doing here. Lord, that we will walk in that door in whatever ministry and part that we have to play individually. Lord, that we will be able to walk in that open door. We thank you for the door is open. And you say that when you open a door, no man can close it. And when you close a door, no man can open it. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that the door is open. And here we are individually. We are saying we are going through those doors. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. Lord, we also pray for all those, our brothers and sisters, our fellow servants in the vineyard, my God, that they will be able to hear you. They will be able to hear your voice calling out even now to us and to them that they will be able to go through that open door. We thank you. We honor you. Thank you, Father, for this afternoon. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.